Hey, my name is Kevin Clark. I'm the host of a new football podcast called Slow News Day. I want to tell you about it. On Mondays, Lindsey Jones and I will recap the weekend in football that was, as well as look ahead to what's next. On Wednesday, the normal Slow News Day, the thing you've been watching for years, current players, current coaches, current analysts talking about the football world. And on Friday, it's a wild card. Could be some college football, could be more pro stuff. It's a video podcast, so you can watch it on Spotify or listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. Follow on Spotify. It's Slow News Day.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
I hate to use pop culture references, you know that. But this is like when they shattered Thor's hammer. This is it. Hi everyone, welcome to Righty's House. Hope you are all safe and well. We're recording this straight after Saudi Arabia's surprise win over Argentina. So we're going to talk about that, as well as England beating Iran. We're going to give flowers to Nico Williams and finally some Barclays WSL stuff. And my guests are Ryan Hun and Musa Kwonga. How are you doing, fellas?
Very well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well. Very, very well.
Good.
That, it started. The World Cup started, man. And you know something? Argentina, man, my team.
Listen, can I just say, three takes on last week's Righty's House have aged.
Oh my God.
Very badly.
Badly.
Mioa's no goals for the
no
Netherlands.
No goals for the Netherlands, yep.
Gone.
Argentina to win. Blow's
losing the first game. Gone.
Gone.
But I actually think the Argentina one is still,
well, of course it is,
a safer shout because, no, you know.
Didn't Spain lose in 2010?
Switzerland.
They did, but they lost to Switzerland.
Yeah. But Moose,
that's a very different position.
Yeah, but the thing is, Moose, with this one, with the Spain team, yes, we saw players that we thought, right, they're going to probably go to the next level. They're going to step it up. Mm. I'm looking at the Argentinian team, and this is without taking anything away from Saudi Arabia, because we'll go into it. But
yes,
I look at the Argentinian team, and I'm sorry. I didn't see enough. What I saw with a high line from Saudi Arabia, a very disciplined high line, even though they changed half time, to just to drop another man back into it, but they kept it. I thought the running in the first half, Moose, of the Argentinian forwards, Messi, Lautaro, Martinez, I thought it was poor. We're dealing with margins.
I'm going to be really mean here.
Uh-oh. Yeah,
I don't think that the high line was genius from Saudi Arabia at all. I don't think it was genius. I think that actually they got away with everything. I think because the angles of those runs were terrible.
Terrible.
Some of the running, they ran. Do you know what it was like? It was like watching Argentina run at that high line was like watching children with a sugar rush. It's like watching children stuff three. Yeah, it was like watching children stuffing three sweets into their mouth at once because they were feasting on it.
Because they're feasting.
And they saw that space and they got so excited and they didn't angle their runs. And that's the reason, right, I say this, and that sounds really harsh, but you keep angling your run steep from the fullback position to the center back, and you keep cutting, and it's 2-3-0, and it's good night. And that way, what do? You get Messi off the mark, which they got. You get Lautaro off the mark, which means he hasn't got to worry about a goal, and the attack starts playing with freedom, and it's 3-0 at halftime. And that is one of the most complacent first halves of attacking from an elite team I have ever seen. I know it sounds brutal to say that. I'm sorry to keep like jumping in and saying this.
No, it's fine.
Because it frustrates me because they exhausted their creativity, Argentina, in a lot of that first half, a lot of their running, and they got so drunk off the plan A, they didn't have a plan B for when Saudi shot up shop. Yeah. And all the gaps they were running for. And a similar thing happened actually to the US actually against Wales to a less extreme degree. But the moment they closed the gaps, Saudi.
Yeah, but Saudi, that's what they've done, Moose. That's what they've done, because it was 4-1, 4-1. They were all in. And then they changed it to 4-1, 3-2. And then they had a midfielder that dropped in as well, dropped into the back. But they still, it was quite high. And still Argentina, even when they broke in that middle of the pitch, they could not get that ball through. They couldn't do it. And Moose, you are absolutely 1,000,000% right, is that the line was so high. I was watching it with the ITV big boss, and I was saying, wow, that line's high. That they're gambling here. And like when then Lautaro went through, I thought, what a beautiful finish as well. Offside. Messi, offside. Even the chance that Messi had in the first 2 minutes, I'm thinking, that's not a Messi finish. It was very, very rushed and, how can I say, very complacent, Moose. It was like, oh, I've just got to side foot this in.
It was the finish of a man who thought he was going to get another 20 chances.
Yeah.
This is the thing.
That's exactly what it was, right? And they've got to get a lot of credit, because at the end of the day, they stuck to it. You know what I mean? We're talking about a coach who knows what he's doing in respect of putting the team together.
That was Renard.
You know,
Renard.
Man. The white shirt. You know what I mean? And what I respect more than anything with that Saudi performance is they stuck to it and they never ran out of energy. They never ran out of
opportunities.
They maximized it. And then they got two chances. I think they probably had about four shots on target. I think at most. Mm. And two of them were goals.
Three total shots.
Three total shots and two were goals.
Two on target. And
that's
both
the margins. And what I'm trying to say with Argentina, Moose, right, is that that's the margins. Yes. You add, they literally said, you know what I mean? Go in there, go and take what you want, but you have to go about it. You can't run, you can't do it. You've got to go about it in a clever way. They didn't do it. They didn't do it. And it was really weird to see so-called top-class players not bending their run enough. I know that with offsides, they're very tight, but they still add so much space.
Angles, you have to run, you have to steep, you have to run at 70 degrees to that ball. Yes. And I saw so many times they were running parallel to the ball. I thought they're doomed. And we see it a lot. We see it in huge games. We talk about this all the time on Stadio, like the amount of times you see elite players, otherwise elite players, making runs where they're going the same line as the ball. You don't do that.
No.
You've got a steep line and you're quicken that back four. They're on their, if a defender is on their heels, right? If a defender's on their heels in a high line and you're coming steep, there is no reason you should ever really be offside.
And the thing is,
you've got 3 feet to play with.
Yeah. But the thing is, Moose, you can see the defender. You can see his number. He can't see you. You can literally, you can literally make your run. And this is what I learned. You have to make your run off of him. He can't see you. So all he's doing is, right, he's there. I'm going to bend it even more to the left. So as when I come back, I'm in. And there's no chance of me being offside. I cannot believe they didn't do it in the first half.
Can I say this as well? One thing I want to throw in as well, just to say for Saudi, because I know there'll be a lot of praise for Alton Bakhti in defense. And there's a temptation sometimes to single out an individual player. I know he was brilliant, but the way they played as a team, the midfield unit of Kano, Malki, Al-Faraj, that midfield unit, the way they just closed the gaps is incredible. And even when Alton Bakhti made his tackles, what was amazing was every time he made a big intervention and everyone's like, oh, look, he celebrated, there were two players in behind. It was like chainmail, wasn't it, Ryan? Yeah. It was unbelievable.
Dude, I was going to say, there was literally, there were moments in the second half specifically where Saudi Arabia were really digging in to defend that lead. That it was like four Saudi Arabia players to one Argentinian player. Like in terms of defending, it was like the effort that they put in was unbelievable. And if you think that the chances that they got, the first one actually reminded me of like a classic Champions League away goal back in the away goals days. Yes. Like second leg, 87th minute. Yeah. It usually fucking happens to PSG at some point. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing.
And then you see the desperation.
But then you see the second one go in because you can kind of compartmentalize. To be honest, I think Romero gets turned a little bit too easily. He's a better defender than that.
Yeah, for the first
one. He's a better defender than that. Yeah. I think he should do better, to be honest. The second one, though, is just the only pet peeve, and I think it's an Ian Wright pet peeve, is that Emi Martinez went with his right hand instead of his left.
Thank you. Mm. And can I just say on that, because I actually had a word with Preece, David Preece, and I talked, I said, Dave, about going with that right hand, what's happened there? And he gave me such a beautiful like explanation. He said, what happened was, if you looked at Martinez, he was looking, he was kind of low down, looking to see where he could see the ball. So then once the shot's off, he's still low down. He's gone with the right hand because maybe he thinks that it's going higher.
It's higher. Yeah,
it's higher.
Yeah,
maybe. But what happened was he's trying to then use the right hand to push it over the top, put it over, yeah. tip it over the bar, where he's needed to use his left hand to turn it round the post.
Round the post, yeah.
Right, and when you see that, those are the margins. Again, that's the margins. Uh-oh. He's yeah. made a big mistake there. Because I'm thinking to myself, the first thing, I was watching it with Kelly Smith, and the both of us said, he looks like he's gone with the wrong hand there. And
so I said, I'm surprised Kelly didn't just go, reminds me of one I scored tonight.
but the thing with it is that it's the first thing you think is, why did he go with that hand? Because he's still trying to push it over the bar, Moose, where it wasn't high enough. It had yeah. to go round the post. And so, you know, again, you look at Romero, absolutely was beaten too easy. Because remember, that ball went high up in the air. His touch wasn't great. It was a good touch, but it went behind him. So he had to go and retrieve it, then turn back, and he had to take on two Argentinian defenders, beat them yeah. both and scored. One of the things I'm most surprised about with Argentina is the lack of aggression in them. That's not yeah. what Argentina are about back in...
Listen, man.
Throughout the whole time I've known an Argentinian team, they lacked aggression.
You've got tattoos. I've got tattoos. You can't defend like that, having that many tattoos on.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I think just on Saudi, I have to say as well, like these, all of these players, the starting 11, all play in the domestic league.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that says a lot for the unity, you know, in terms of, you know, the team building, the squad building, and what this does for... I mean, there's already a huge passion for the game. We see them come across the border to watch this game, but even yes. more so now, what this is going to do for, I mean, I don't think it does anything for the passion in terms of, because the passion's already there, but just in terms of what this does as a result. Yeah. The only game I can rank it alongside is, ironically, Cameroon beating Argentina 1-0. Mm. See, this is the last time I saw a shock this big, and I suppose the only good news for Argentina is you can bounce back. The problem for Argentina is this has absolutely shattered their aura. The jackals yeah. are now at the door. The jackals are at the door because you see this and you're like, oh, we can feast.
Yeah.
Because Mexico. Before everyone was, and yeah. I said this on Twitter, like, if you play with your prey long enough, it will turn around and it will eat you. And yeah. this is my one fear for Argentina now. They yeah, played Moose, with their food so long.
Yeah, the food's turned
the
around.
The food ate them.
And ate them. Moose, but do you think it livens them up, Rye? Sorry, just do you think
yeah, well,
this
no,
makes...
What yeah. I was going to say. Go yeah, on. I mean, like, first defeat in 36 games. Mm-hmm. An absolute bloody nose at the beginning of a tournament that they feel, quote unquote, they're destined to win, especially yeah. because of Messi. Mm. But actually, there are a lot of, what's the word I want to say? I don't want to say characters.
Yeah, characters. Yeah, there are.
Let's say characters.
Yeah,
then.
Characters.
And we know that when Messi has a little bit of help and he decides to go like Supernova. Turbo, there are a few things in the world that can stop it. The next game is crucial because this group now is wide open. I don't think they need a result. I think they need a big result in the
a
next
big
game.
Result and a performance.
Like a massive performance because those aren't going to be easy games and they're going to have to put both those teams away comfortably.
Ryan, I think that it gets harder here for, if they're going to do it, they're going to have to do it from a place of real war and attrition. Yeah. Argentina. Messi's going to have to go deep. They're all going to have to, because what I saw in the first half, especially the way Lautaro finished his goal and how Messi finished his goal when he did. They've got it. But now they're going to have to go and find it and they're going to have to bring it. They're going to have to bring it now because they've lost the aura of, oh my God, it's Argentina. They're the favorites. And so people are not afraid of them. People are coming and saying, right, we're ready for you. So you better bring your good stuff. Otherwise, we are going to beat you. We've seen what Saudi Arabia done to you. And you weren't able to capitalize. And I'm very excited for the Argentina that hopefully Saudi Arabia has created.
I hate to use pop culture references, you know that.
Go
but
on.
This is like when they shattered Thor's hammer. This is it.
It moves. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is, because as we speak now, I had to post, right? Because we was there and we was watching, I was eating, and then they scored the second goal. And they're my team. Argentina are the team I've tipped. Yeah. After watching England beat Iran 6-2, you know, not tipping my own country, I've went for Argentina and I've watched my country totally dispatch a team. And I'm watching Argentina really struggle because they started, Moose, with too much swagger.
Oh.
I agree.
The way that Messi tried to finish that first one, it's like you said, Rai, he finished it as if he knows I'm getting another three or four. That's how he finished it.
you can't fuck around and win a World Cup. You have to really grind.
Bring it, man.
Let's go to a break and then we'll talk about England.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
Moose and I did a Stadio last night, straight after the Wales-USA game, or USA-Wales game. And we didn't spend too much time on England. We spent more time on the armband stuff because we knew we were going to talk about the game today. So can we talk about the game? Because can we talk about all 114 minutes of this game?
I like the extra time stuff. I like the way it's happening. People can't just waste time, but I like it.
It's been like an extra hour and a half already of games. It's been amazing.
Like 10 minutes of extra time. I like it. I like it. I got to say with England, the way they started the game, obviously Iran started with this kind of like, right, we're going to block and we're not going to let them through. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to stay in and we might hit on the break. And you could see that they're not bad when they broke a couple of times. But I thought that England, after they had that little break, obviously the goalkeeper and smashed into his defender, I thought, oh no, that's taken our energy away a bit because we started to really go forward with real purpose. And then obviously we came back again. When they came back, we just went into it again. I thought it was like, they're so focused in what they were doing. And it all started, Harry Maguire's brilliant pass through the lines, bam. You know, Jude Bellingham, it's like a new superhero's landed in the fucking, in the world, bro. I remember on the righty's house when we was picking the team and we were saying he should be playing. And I said, he has to play.
Right.
He has to play. And just to see how he was playing that game. And a lot of people are saying, oh, listen to him. Oh, here he goes again about Iran. Oh, you only played Iran. That guy's 19, bro.
19.
Honestly, I'm not joking. He was just doing great passes, doing great movement. That's a number eight of real unbelievable ability.
A real true eight. Yeah, he put himself in the marketplace.
Thank you, Moose.
And here's the thing. There's something about, like, people talk about, oh, it's only Iran. Look, here's the thing. When you beat a team that is not as good as you, there's a way that elite teams put away those teams. And that's why Southgate was annoyed about conceding the second goal, I think.
Yeah,
but fundamentally, like the way that England came through the lines, the way people underestimate how hard it is to play through a team that is trying to basically block all avenues.
Absolutely.
And the stat that got me at the about just past the hour mark, England had completed just over 450 passes and Iran had completed 80. 80. Mm. And England was still going through them at will. That was really impressive.
That was a ridiculous penalty as well. Should have been six.
I think like the fact that England didn't get one in the first half and then Iran get that second one, I was a bit like, come on guys. Like you didn't even go and look at the Maguire one. Actually, on Maguire quickly, I thought he did really, really well.
So happy for
and
him.
And this is really interesting because you see him playing in an environment where he's comfortable with players that he's comfortable with. And I think that he's had such a rough time at Manchester United that it's just really interesting seeing him.
It's almost he's relieved, isn't
it? Yeah, I think so. And there could be, it's like, what was the you know, the France Pogba kind of thing, similar element where you feel a little bit more free when you're in the national setup. But
I think, you know what as well with that, Rai, is to have a manager, because you can be feeling like that, but then you don't get picked because you're not playing enough for your club side. And for Gareth to still pick him, then he comes in and he answers. I've never seen Harry Maguire play poorly in a tournament. And that's all that Gareth needs. That's all for Gareth. That's more than enough for him. And I'm pleased about that because yesterday he could have scored.
He set up the first goal,
got us on the road, should have got a penalty, you know, and unfortunately, you know, he had to come off, wasn't feeling well. But it seems like when it's not going for you, you know, he hits the bar like he does, you know what I mean? It's just the way it is. And then even the goal, what they scored, we kind of analyzed it and there's nothing Harry Maguire could have done because they had such good possession the way they passed it through to the edge of the box that Harry Maguire had to take the chance of going to the right because the forward made a really good move. It was a move that would have beaten top defenders, any top defender, even if he was in his greatest form.
I'm going to quote a Musa Okongerism here, who often pulls this from from the NBA stuff, and that sometimes good offense just beats good defense.
Absolutely. Right. You know what I mean?
They're going to get their first sometimes. You can, exactly.
And then like Taremi is no slouch. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
I think you saw actually how much people, I don't want to say overestimated, but kind of rated Iran going into the tournament. A lot of people thought that this was going to be really, really tough for England. Mm. And to be honest, I think that opening, half an hour or so, if you'd said at the end, if right there, you'd be like, right, fast forward to the end, it was 1-0 England. You'd be like, this feels like a 1-0 England game. And then all of a sudden the goals just came.
Yeah.
It completely broke the valve on the game kind of thing, if that means. It's just like England just opened up after that. But they needed that first goal.
They did need it. And it was a brilliant goal.
It was a super goal.
But can I say my favourite goal?
Go on.
My favourite goal was Sterling's goal. I thought Harry Kane's cross, like he's literally going away from every. He's actually facing away, and it was almost Beckham-esque where he put it in. And for Raheem finishing it with the outside of foot like that was a. And when you look at Raheem's form for Chelsea, it's not quite got going. It's stuttering start there. That goal is the goal of somebody who's in supreme confidence. You don't otherwise. You take that with the inside of your right foot, and you just make sure that you get it on target. That was a fantastic goal.
Creation. And it vindicates what Southgate has done with England, doesn't it? Because a lot of talk about Maguire not being in the mix. Put him in the back four, not in the five.
Foden starting instead of Sterling, they were talking about.
Right, and the thing is, it's the speed though. It's the speed to start with. Like Foden is not as quick as Saka or Sterling. So you start with those two, you get width and you get speed, right? You can bring on Foden for control as an eight later or as a wide player in different areas. But fundamentally, like what they give you is, I saw this attack, this lineup, and I thought, oh, this is like, they're going for it.
I love the midfield three as well, Moose. I love
the
right.
I was going to say the balance.
Fucking love it.
I think that's the best blend of midfield talent because Mount, Bellingham and Rice all overlap. They have complementary skill sets in a way that
Moose,
is really exciting.
It's like against any team, they can go to the next level of what they've got because we know that they've all got progression in them. And, you know, we know Rice can defend. We know that Bellingham can defend. You know what I mean? And then,
Mount, if he had to, he would.
Yeah, he could do that. But then you'd say, okay, you can have it as a double pivot. You can have Bellingham and Rice, and Mount can get going, or any of that three could get into that position and do that particular job in that particular moment. It feels really malleable, man.
It feels fantastic. Super dynamic. You've got all the attributes that you need there for an elite international midfield. And the thing that I'm really happy about is that was my pick for the midfield three, and I was like, it happened. I never get my midfield three picked.
I can't remember if I picked that three. I would have picked that three.
I think you did. We didn't actually put it out on the podcast, but we were talking about it before we did it.
But that's the best midfield three.
I think so.
The thing is that, again, you're looking at some comments, you see things come through, and then people are talking about, listen to him going way over the top. You've beaten Iran. And what they don't understand is the people who are saying that is that we beat Iran so easily, right? That could have been quite a tough game. We beat them so easily that they're forgetting the fact that how good we were at beating them so easily. That's what they forget. It's like watching Ecuador beat a poor Qatar side, but then in instances, you saw some real top stuff from Ecuador.
Yeah.
Like, boom, 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 great stuff. So you think, oh, that's what they could be capable of doing. And what we showed yesterday is what we could be capable of doing if we get it all right. And unfortunately,
Ian, let's be honest, a generation ago, we're 2-0 up until the 80th minute, then we concede and it's nervy. Yeah. A generation ago, it's 2-1 against the same opposition.
Yeah.
Because look, one of those players has scored more in the Champions League than Haaland, right? Like that Iran team has goal scorers, it has threat, and England went in then. This is the thing, it's almost good if people downplay this 6-2.
I don't
Weirdly enough, yeah. It's almost good because people, oh no, they're not all that. No. Actually, what I saw was really impressive fluidity. I saw every player play when they wanted to. And the substitute changes and the way that Kane is just like sitting deep and allowing to play off him. There's a game he played against, I think it was Dortmund in the Champions League at home, where there was a 3-1. And Kane was dropping deep and just having the two runners go off him. And I just thought, see, that's his future.
That's his future.
And him now as the facilitator. Someone was making a joke on Twitter. One of these, I won't name these banter accounts.
I wish everyone could see the gesture that Moose has made.
The dismissive hand.
Get out of here.
Dismissive Moose.
Get out of here.
This banter accounts was going, oh, oh yeah, he scored more at the World Cup than Wayne Rooney. And I was like, first of all, disrespectful to Rooney. Secondly, Wayne Rooney in this team. Can you imagine a peak Wayne Rooney in this team? It's not how the man would try.
Absolutely clean up. He'd clean up.
The reason I mentioned that is because I want to just emphasize again the fluidity of the attack. The tools they had coming off the bench. Callum Wilson.
Oh my God. Actually, it's really funny you just said this, because when you said before, like a decade ago, it's 2-0, we can see the goal at the end. And then I don't know, like I was thinking, the kind of players that you would bring on a decade ago compared to what you would bring on now, I think that the gulf in technical quality as well. It's like Eric Dier comes on for Harry Maguire, and I think Eric Dier is a really good footballer, actually. And a lot of people hate on Eric Dier, and I think it's a little bit disrespectful because he is such an amazing option to bring on. And if you think as well, you could have brought on one of our faves, Benjamin White. You could have brought on Connor Cody as a hype man. Mm-hmm. You could have brought on... Yeah. In so many options, you can bring on as a hype man. I want Connor Cody to come on in a 4-0 when it's 4-0 in the quarterfinal and just come on like this.
Just hype man. Yeah, just hype man. But like, you know what was really interesting about watching him come on and even obviously seeing Callum do what he done? Marcus Rashford, looking at him coming on, there's something in his eyes. There's something in his eyes. You know, and the way he's took his goal was something where you think to yourself, if this Marcus Rashford, if he stays in this form, right? Mm. This form that he's in at the moment, in the way he is, the confidence, knowing what I'm capable of, and coming on and then getting into the position like he did and showing the composure again.
Do you know how he came in? It reminds me of, I'm not even sure he's unpacked his bags yet. You know, the way he came in with the urgency. You know, sometimes you go on holidays with your friends, there's always that one person.
The bags down and you straight back down to the bar.
They're straight at the pool. You're like, whoa, the guy didn't even, and the thing is still there. And Rashford came in this game like, I'm on.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I was really sad about this though, because, you know, I put it in the Writer's House group, you know, the sad Escobar meme. It was like, Gareth took Saka off on a hat trick. And then literally, the player that came on in that position, he's just come on, the ball comes to him and he scores. And I was just like, no.
Keep your powder dry though. You know, that's what I love it. But like, I worry because sometimes with these things, there can be, we've seen World Cup teams start well and they burn themselves out.
Mm.
We've seen them fly out the traps. We see it in the Euros. Was it Holland one time? Is it 2008 Euros? They flew out the traps in the group stage, just mind blowing. And then like Russia just sucker punched them in the second round.
Can I say, and this, well, go on, let's go on,
easing yourself into it. It's like in basketball, get everyone a touch of the ball. Get the offense, spread the offense.
You know something, Moose? I was thinking as well, because I know that Serena and Gareth, Serena Wiegmann and Gareth have had chats and spoken.
Love that.
I don't think I've seen our substitutes come on with that much relish and ready to go. Even
with vim.
Honestly, and that's like the ladies. When you look at how we were, the Euros, the women's Euros, those substitutes were coming on with purpose.
You're watching the bench thinking, I was watching for a catapult. Like, have these people actually been? Have they been?
I'm telling you.
The physio's like putting it, it's like releasing them.
Because, like, you're looking at it, and I think that somewhere along the line, it's being communicated that it's not just the 11, because that's the vibe you got from the women's Euros. I'll pick this 11, but it's 15. Everybody. And that is what I took from the women's. And watching them last night, I was just thinking to myself, that feels like the same. And Gareth has recognised that the bench is how important it is. How many times do you see people come off the bench and they disappear in the game? Look at Grealish. Grealish came on with a real gusto and verve to come on, you know? And obviously we know his story with the little boy who he's done his celebration with. So he seems to have some purpose in that. But then you see the way Marcus Rashford was. You saw the way Callum Wilson was. You know, you see like Eric Dier coming on doing it. Everybody's come on and they're doing it.
And the square pass from Callum Wilson. The square pass from Callum Wilson is one of the most indicative things. The vision and the unselfishness.
Yeah. You know, all the time he's running down there, Moose. All the time he's running down there. And this is the thing with it. What you watch it. Watch it again, the replay. He does not look to the left at all. He feels it. He's obviously through his peripheral. He can see there's a white shirt. And the way he cut that back, it was magnificent.
You're saying Callum Wilson was a Jedi?
It must be. I think he
can
felt
I say that. Actually, can I say it? It felt like, it reminded me of, and this is a huge compliment. It was like a Timo Werner type move. You see the unselfishness to pull wide like that and to scatter the defense with the brilliant movement and then to cut it. You know, Timo Werner's best performances are his most unselfish ones, actually. And it was the same kind of energy. I loved it.
But can I say with Callum Wilson as a striker, because if I'm coming off the bench and probably different, I'm coming off, running through like that on goal, I'm shooting. We're 5-1? There's no way I'm passing. That's amazing. That's why that group is what it is. Because Callum Wilson, with everybody saying about, oh, Callum Wilson's gone in now, he's only have a little bit of form and he's coming, how's he getting there? The fact is that Callum Wilson and Gareth has obviously seen in Callum Wilson, he fits this group. It's not about him.
Love it. Love it.
Because for me, as a striker, and Shearer, any of us coming on as a striker at 6-1, at 5-1, and you're bearing down on goal, you're not squaring that. That says a lot to me about what this group's about. It says so much about how together they are. You know, because Jack Grealish is first, Rashford's first, you know, Sterling's first. It's so many first people scoring for the first time in a World Cup. Obviously, Jude Bellingham's first.
Mm. Can I say that? One thing else about Bellingham, I was shocked that he'd had that many caps without a goal. When I looked at the numbers again, you're like, hang on a minute. I knew it was but was it 18?
He was off the bench a lot as well, didn't he?
But this, off the bench a lot, absolutely. And also, it shows how much we know he's capable of and respect and expect from him that this is someone who, if goals were his diet, if all he wanted to be was a goal scorer,
he would
score 1 and 2.
Yeah.
He scored a lot for Dortmund this season. That's something that he's surprised a lot more people than up the goal level.
Yeah, this is a magnificent header. This is a magnificent header.
So good. Angle.
Header, yeah.
We said on Stadio that I think a lot of people are going to be watching consecutive Jude Bellingham games for the first time through this tournament because just, you know, not everyone is going to watch the Bundesliga every week. And the thing that was, he got such rave reviews after this game.
Mm.
And the thing that Moose and I said on Stadio was that, this isn't even close to what he's capable of. That's the thing about Jude. He has potential, considering his age, he has potential to be one of the all-time great midfielders.
He's a phrase that I reserve for very, very few footballers. He is advanced technology.
I'm taking that. They'll hear
certain footballers are advanced technology. He is just one of those people that are just in it. It's a separate category.
I need another line because they're still using the burdened with glorious purpose. I need another. I was so pleased for Bakayo.
Can we talk about him quickly?
Of course. I was so pleased for him because when the game started, I'm thinking the way Iran were. If Bakayo came back, the defender was right behind him all the time. Bam, 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 bam. Mm. All the time, I was thinking, wow, they do not want us turning. They don't want him turning.
No.
The defender would go into our half if Bakayo went in there. I'm thinking, just keep receiving it because at some stage, this defender's going to get it wrong. And you know, he gets it and then he cuts inside, he plays it and he goes again. The defender, after a while, is thinking, I don't know what to do with this guy because they're continuing to pass it to him. He's continuing to receive it. He's got so much help around him. There was so much support in and around that you could play off one touch. It was such a mature performance, you know?
Isn't it amazing how cohesive it was? It was fluid. We've seen England, you know, we've always said, oh, England are slow starters. Yeah. That's the thing we tell ourselves, they're slow starters. What we really mean is the group is not cohesive.
Mm.
There is no right back discourse after this game, none. There's no discourse about.
I actually think that the England slow starters thing is more projection from England fans because they know that if they start quick, they're like, we're going to win it.
Yeah.
There was a funny thing actually in the opening minutes. I was, oh my God, there's such a slow game. I was like, are we watching the same game? England are cooking there.
Also, to be honest, it's late November. It's freezing cold. It was an afternoon. I was kind of pretty cozy watching the game. Slow is fine by me.
I love the way
ease yourself in.
I love the way that you see, like I say, with someone like Harry Maguire, what people have got to understand with a player that's got so much negativity around him, for someone who he's so confident in what he is capable of doing that he will come out from the back, you know, knowing that if goes wrong, what's going to happen to him? And he will try and pass the ball through the lines and he will continue to try and do that. And that's brave. People will say, well, what are you talking about? That's brave. I was thinking at the start of the game, are we going to pass through lines? Are we going to try and get through? Because the way Iran's set up, if we're not going to do that, then it's going to be one of those games where, oh my gosh, we're going to go round the mountain sideways, bam, 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 sideways. Are we going to try and get through them? Because that's what they don't want. So that's what you should try and do. Even if you give it away. This is why I like Bruno Fernandes. Bruno Fernandes will try and pass it into the place to hurt the team, even if you even if the ball gets intercepted. And that's what you got to do, because that's what they don't want. And when that happens, that's when they get digi. That's when they, oh my God, it's come through here. This is what we didn't want. This is what we've been training against. Oh my God, that is what we have to do to teams. You have to put it where they don't want it.
Maguire really sets the tone.
He sets the tone. He'll put it in there. And that's what I love about him, because he's under so much scrutiny, but at the same time, he still will try and pass it into a place where he knows that people will give him stick if it doesn't get there.
Right, right.
So in terms of an opening game, pretty much perfect for England on the pitch.
So good. So good, Rye. So good. Maybe, you know, like Moose said, maybe, you know, now it's 6-1.
Maybe too good.
It's managing. And this is why it's Gareth and that team will be so, they'll be so level about what's going on, because they know what to do. 2018, Euros at home. And now they know exactly what frame of mind to be in. 6-1, yeah. 6-2, sorry. 6-2, yeah, we're fine. Next game. I'm so excited about the team.
Yeah, I think also as well that they have the, I think we've talked about this maybe in the, going back to the Euros, but also it applies now that they have the squad to adapt to the opposition.
I really like some of the playing out for the back as well, I got to say. Yeah, I really like the urgency of it. I liked the risk taking. I like the delay. Sometimes Pickford would draw the man and then play it out. I thought that was excellent.
But there even Moose, even Raheem Sterling goal was a long kick from the back.
Yeah.
Harry Kane wrestled with the guy. We got a little bit of luck because it bounced down, but he made sure that we got it. Bam, out to the wing. Then it went out to the wing a bit. Then Harry makes his move. So we've gone direct, and then once we've got up there, bam, the quality.
The goals were crafted,
in.
Weren't they? That was the thing I really liked. They weren't just individual efforts. They were all constructed. Brilliant. There was a thought process. Yeah.
There's a lot to look forward to. So, you know, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. We did a big bit on it on Stadio about the stuff that's happened off the pitch since we last spoke. But how do you feel about the armband stuff?
Well, it was...
We don't have to go deep on this, but we did a big 15-minute bit on Stadio.
But the thing is, with me, I just thought, we're talking about protests. And what I said yesterday was, there's no protest without risk. And we're talking about people risking lives. You know, we're talking about people protesting just to be who they are. Mm. And like, okay, you know, FIFA, again, moving the goalpost. Day before, saying, no, now we don't want you to wear that armband. We want you to wear this armband. And there's a lot of talk about, yeah, but if FIFA let you do that, then people can do other kind of gestures. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, for me, England, Gareth maybe should have worn it out there. Somebody should have worn it out there. Or even... bring it out there and lay it to rest in the goal mouth. Something like that. Anything. Some kind of gesture, because I thought, like I said, I thought it was quite a meek gesture. Meek kind of like symbolic gesture for me.
Yep.
So this could have turned into, like I said yesterday, it could have turned into a real powerful protest of defiance. It could have really done it, because it could make people see, okay, so what's going to happen? Oh, they might book Harry Kane, and then, oh, suppose he gets another booking, then he misses a game. And people I said, you're missing the point. Because there's certain people who are protesting and they're living in places where they could be killed for their protest. And we're talking about someone getting booked and maybe missing a game. Now people say, yeah, well, that's all right for you to say. But if you're going to protest, you can't just stop at the first hurdle. You can't do that. So for me, it was very disappointing. And I would like us to have continued doing the protest simply because it now feels to me like it was tokenism. Oh, we'll do that. That'll keep everybody quiet. Oh, we'll wear the armband. And as soon as FIFA says, well, we can't let you wear the armband, we don't do something in defiance, so as then we can let the thousands and millions, let's say, watching, who do have to protest just to live their lives, let them see that, yeah, they genuinely are, because they'll probably get in trouble for that. It's not the kind of trouble that, you know, they're going to lose their lives or something, but they have sacrificed something, because what is the point if you're not going to do that? That's how I felt about it.
Yeah, if people want to hear Moose and I go in a little bit more on that stuff, go and check the latest Stadio episode out. But yeah, man, couldn't agree more.
This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time in the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire, you're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the golden collection at UGG.com. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Right, I think we're going to give flowers, and I think we have to give flowers to Nico Williams. I think that what people don't understand is what players go through every day, just like everybody has to go through on a daily basis, you know, and losing a family member, especially your grandparents and stuff like that, is such a massive loss for a family. Day before your biggest game, you know, and then your mum phoning you to tell you that. You think to yourself, my gosh. And then you have to watch how he played and you think to yourself, my gosh, well done, my friend. Well done. You have to get flowers. I'd love to, you know what I mean? Because I don't know what that's like, but I've been in dressing rooms where people have lost their grandparents, and it really is like, you see people are really, really affected by that particular family member, you know? So, and it's in the World Cup. You know what I mean? You can imagine how proud he must have been leading into it, getting ready to watch his grandson play like that. And then for Nico to go in and play like he did, you know, and, you know, they got the point and he dedicated it to his grandma. I just, honestly, I'm blown away by his professionalism and his endeavor. I really am.
You're right. The context of that game as well. Like, it's a huge result for Wales, you know?
Yeah, man. You know, like, I lost my granddad a few months ago and spoke about it on Stadio, and spoke about how much I actually struggled with the day-to-day of it initially, and how it is a strange kind of grief, because it's not like you know, like you lost your mum, Ian, and, you know, Musa, you've lost your dad when you were little as well. It's not, and it's, you know, I'm lucky that I still have both my parents, but it is a strange kind of grief where it's almost like removed enough that people expect you just to be okay-ish or kind of, but it can really hit you. And it's taken, I mean, to be honest, just then when you were talking about it, it kind of brought back the phone call when my mum called me and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a lot older than he is, and I wasn't playing a game under a spotlight like that. And, you know, the first time my country had been into a World Cup for years, and the fact that he played so well is, I think, as well.
Yeah, brilliant. You know, the thing is as well, right? Like, when you read it and he says, you're crying all day and then you go and play a match in the World Cup. You know, when he said that, I thought, well, obviously missing out on the World Cups and that, I know emotionally what it means to me, even just watching and putting yourself in a position of these guys. I can't honestly say that I could deal with that. I can't, because like, it means that the emotion, just for me, just being at the World Cup would have been so much. So to get that news before you're playing, I can't even get into the realms of his headspace.
The psychology, and dealing with, unreal.
I can't get into it. I have to give him so much flowers for this. It's amazing.
And let's give, you know, Wales some love as well. We talked about it on Stadio, but like, they were so good in that second half, and I think they deserved at least a point from that game. And
the way the USA started, I was like, wow.
Yeah,
I was wow. I was like, wow, energy. I'm seeing it. Even the way that goal was constructed, the way it came through, there was a lot. It was very bitty, Moose, because it kind of came from a header and then it bounced into a chest and it came. Then all of a sudden, when Pulisic got on it,
it smoothed
out. But then the run from Weir and the finish was Mickey Thomas-y in 89. It was beautiful.
Moussa said on Stadio that George was going to sue him for copyright infringement.
He should, because that is George Weir finishing.
And like, it was unreal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's so just good. Beautiful flick of the right foot. But then I'm thinking, I'm just watching the way they played and looking at the experience in the team, and it's a young team, and I'm thinking, they're probably going to need another goal at some stage while they're playing how they're playing, while they're in the ascendancy. They momentum, needed to score again, because I felt, Moose, that, you know, obviously Rob Pagey brings on Kiefer Moore, and I'm going direct. And you could see that America didn't know how to manage the game and slow the game down and take it from this basketball kind of game, what giving Wales the opportunity to go and getting the fans going, and then the pressure starting to build on the USA, and you could see them go deeper. And then when they scored, when they got the penalty, which I never for 1 minute thought he was going to miss, you think to yourself, Wales could go on and win this. Yeah, I think that what America's got to do while they've got this team, and it's a young team, and I heard people say that in 4 years' time, I think this team's going to be ready in their own place. What they have to learn to do, they're going to have to score a lot more goals early, or they're going to have to find a way to manage the game better than they did, because I thought Wales, you could feel them saying, you know, you could feel them like saying, we can get back in this, we can win this. And they nearly did. They could have done it. I thought they had a couple of good chances. I thought Kiefer Moore should have done better with his header.
Yeah. Similar to that Gakpo header early on.
Gakpo's header.
But here's the thing. We've learned from England. People say like 4 years from now, look, we've learned from England and our mistakes. People can come and feast on you at any time. Yes. They will feast it. The predators are always out. They are, we got 4 years. You don't. You really don't have 4 years. It's like...
Four more years.
And this is, you look at this. Yeah, exactly. You look at this with...
Yes.
The way that the US didn't close this game out, and I think a lot of them thought this was 3 points. Yeah. They looked at the Wales thing, they looked at the population of Wales, they looked at Gareth Bale and other players they hadn't heard of, and they thought, oh, okay, well, this is what we're going to tick off.
They haven't taken into consideration the history, what this means, what the Wales team have been through, what Wales as a country with the football managers, what they've been through with the going from
this
Gary
team
Speed,
knocked out Ukraine. Did,
thank you.
This team knocked out you. This with Malinovsky, and Zinchenko.
Moose, you look at Wales, and I always feel with the World Cup, what have we got? What we got to draw on? What's going to get us through the games when we are right up against it? What we got to draw on? Wales have got a lot to draw on to make them say, if my heart bursts out of my chest trying to stop them or trying to get this ball forward so as we can do it, I am going to do whatever it takes. That's what Wales
Beth Fisher shared this incredible video of Gareth Bale going, you got to run. I know it effing hurts, but you got to do it. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. I was just like, you know, I was like, oh, captain, my captain. Like that's the energy. And that is the intangible thing that doesn't show up on the stat sheets.
Yeah,
you know, that's the one thing. It's not a criticism. It's not a criticism of the US at all. It's more like the depth of experience, right? Like never underestimate the last chance saloon team. Because that's what this is for a lot of these Wales players in terms of like the physical energy they've expended in their careers, right? This is the last
chance.
It's the last dance for quite a few of them. And that I think is not that the US don't have their experienced players at the back. We know they've got brilliant centre backs who've played, you know, many years. It's just that there's something with this Wales team where it's like, this is their peak moment.
Yeah. Yes.
And that makes it very, very dangerous, I think.
Exactly. You got to understand.
I'm really not looking forward to that England Wales game.
Oh God, I can't wait.
I know you can't. I'm a chaos agent.
Here's the thing. There's no situation you want to go into game where Wales need something from it, or where you need something from it. You don't want that at all.
Because they won't even get Michael Sheen. They'll just call in Anthony Hopkins.
Oh my God.
They'll go and get Sir Anthony Hopkins and that is it. It's all over.
Oh no.
Jesus. Seeing Sir Anthony Hopkins like clearing his throat. Good night.
With a Shakespearean clothing, with a skull in his right hand.
Oh my God. Jesus, God, please make Anthony Hopkins not start clearing his throat.
Before we go, should we give a quick shout out to Florence Lloyd Hughes and her new show, Counterpressed?
Yes.
Flo and the gang did a big WSL thing on her show, but we're going to talk a little bit about it now before we go.
Counterpressed. Then I feast, then I fast, then I counterpress.
Exactly. I knew you were going to mention that.
Stormzy, then I counterpress.
How did he? I still can't believe Stormzy put that in a lyric. It's
brilliant,
isn't it? It's God tier. God tier lyricism.
But you watched the game on Saturday.
Yes. And I love this game. And you know something?
So good.
Everybody knows what.
Arsenal 2, Man United 3, by the way.
Yes. Everybody knows what Arsenal mean to me, men and women's. But there's something about this Man United team. And the fact that they have to, at some stage, break that top three. They have to get in. They have to beat the Arsenals, the Man Cities. They have to beat the Chelseas. And I think that win, in the manner that they did it, in front of those fans, and you know, we're talking about Toon and Russo scoring. They're big game players, man. And then it was brilliant to see the Man United fans there with their section, you know, and they came in their numbers. And that is what the game is about. That is what the women's game is about, right? 40,000 people at the Emirates, Man United, Arsenal, 3-2, end-to-end game, mistakes, great play, fantastic advert for the WSL. Winner,
absolute limbs in the away end.
Unbelievable, yeah. You know what I mean? The crowd goes wild.
I saw Tim Stillman write a good thing about this where he said, obviously, he wants Arsenal to win every game and it hurts him from an Arsenal point of view, but the WSL needs moments like
they
that.
They do.
Mm. Like visually.
They do.
Can I say as well, what I really loved about this game, the disrespect to come from 2-1 down with 70 minutes to go. That disrespect, I'm loving that. You know, this is the thing. All teams that want to break into that established hegemony, they need a win like this.
Chelsea won on Sunday. Mm. They beat Spurs 3-0. 3-0,
yeah.
That pass by Guru Wrighton for the Opens, one of the passes of the weekend. That's unreal.
Guru.
I mean, Guru Wrighton's just unbelievable.
Yes, he is.
So the top of the table is Chelsea on 21 points, played 8. Arsenal second on 18. Manchester United third on 18 as well. And Man City, who also won at the weekend, are on 15 points. Quick shout. We haven't had confirmation from the club the last time I saw, but it looks like Beth Mead is going to be out for a while. So fingers crossed for Beth.
Yes.
Very much so.
Yes. Hey guys, I'll see you soon. When we
see you Saturday. Righty's House back on Saturday.
Okay. Saturday's Righty's House, man. So guys, thank you so much. Take it easy, whatever you're doing, guys. And I'll speak to you soon.
Take care.
God bless, man. God bless. Bye. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much, England, for this fantastic start. I feel like the World Cup is onwards and upwards now, so I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for listening, guys. And we'll be back on Saturday, like Ryan said, with Righty's House. So take it easy and come on, England!